Yeah, g'day guys. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Body and Mind by Leon podcast. Here I am running solo again today. Why do I run solo in some podcasts as opposed to having guests or a co-host? It's because sometimes I'm very spontaneous. I'm a semi-structured person. I love routine in my life. I love it. That's what allows me to do what I do for most of the part. But I am very spontaneous in my way of thinking. I have ideas that come to my mind and I like to execute them straight away, because if we're just going to go, okay, I've got these great ideas and I'll do them later, and before we know it, the later doesn't happen or we forget our ideas. So I'm a very spontaneous person. I've got an idea in my mind. I want to chat about it. Bang, let's do it. I don't overthink it. I don't edit it. I don't make it perfect, because I'm all about taking action. And I talk about that a lot of time with people. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the perfect design, the most structured, you know, podcast. But if as long as it's valuable, it's adding purpose, it's given some education to people and giving some wisdom at the same time, I think it's a win-win-win. So I think sometimes when you learn to talk from your heart as opposed to your mind, sometimes things will flow out more organically, more naturally, more genuinely, and you're doing something for the right reason. So I thought today we would discuss. I was just training this morning, and I was having a pretty lousy session, I must say. And this topic actually came to my mind based on that lousy session of mine. Why did I have a lousy session? I don't know. Nutritionally, everything was fine. I slept like a baby last night. I jumped in the pool before I come to work. I felt amazing. I was in a really, really good frame of mind. I just didn't feel like training for no particular reason. And you know what? And sometimes it's okay to wake up on that side of the bed where you go, you know what? Today wasn't the greatest training session, but you know what? My training session got done and I got my protein shake in there and I made a better choice for my breakfast, and my meal too was a better choice because I did show up and I did train. So nothing's always about executing the perfect training plan. And it got me thinking, you know, what are five factors that are preventing people from, you know, achieving their health and fitness goals? What are barriers that are in our place that are making people look the same 12 months, 2 years, 3 years down the track? So in my, you know, 33 years of training, I guess, you know, we can speak the obvious about consistency and discipline, and they're boring words, and I don't think I want to delve too much into them today because I think they're stating the absolute obvious. So I thought I might just go outside the realms of I did my planning all of about 45 seconds of brainstorming, because like I say, I don't overthink things. I don't think things too much. I get ideas from education and knowledge and wisdom over the last 30 odd years, like I mentioned. And so these things kind of come natural to me, but these are the things I kind of feel are the things that might be holding people back. So without further ado, let's not blabble it on. Let's get straight into it. Now, I'm going to count down from number five. Now, none of these are really of importance from five to one. I think they're all necessities, and I think they're avenues that we all can tune up quite simple. I haven't made anything on this list that's going to be, you know, challenging for someone to execute. I feel they're all simple tasks that we can make simple changes to get some more positive goals when it comes to our health and fitness. Now, number five is sleep. Boring. Yes, I know how boring sleep. A lot of us are overthinkers. We're tossers and turners, and we're midnight owls, and sleep can be broken at times, and we go to bed with the world in our mind and stresses and anxiety and worries and fears, and it's very, very difficult to sleep at some times. So saying that, it can be quite challenging. Now, what we can also discuss about ways that we can get you to sleep. Yes, we can talk about meditation. We can talk about not even looking at your phone for the last few hours before you go to bed. That does make a primary role. But if I was to look at myself, and I'm going to be really honest, as I always am, I've been a terrible sleeper from day one. Day one, obviously, when I was born, I never slept well. I never slept well as a kid. I always used to wake up multiple times in the middle of the night, and I don't know why. That's just maybe I'm a very, very highly strung dude, and energy that got a lot of energy to burn, and my mind's ticking. It's always thinking about the next project and the next thing to do. So sometimes that can actually be a massive advantage to yourself, but also detrimental, because sleep for me is the number one thing on the planet. In basically, when we're talking about anyone's health and fitness goals, when we're talking about our personal psychology, when we're talking about life, I just feel it for me, one of the most important things is sleep. Now, why I say that is because we fat burn when we sleep. Most of our great ideas happen when we sleep. Our injuries recover when we sleep. the body can actually do what it needs to do. It can regenerate new cells, man. Every injury that we have, step back, everything happens when we sleep. So most of us that are having broken sleep and we're carrying some existing worries and fears, we're going to struggle to get on top of these things. What I've also realized is that on a personal aspect on human beings, as human beings, when we go through our own sort of personal challenges and we lack sleep, we can't sleep, we go days without sleeping. From a counseling perspective, the first thing I tell people is, look, I can't give you any information, there's nothing I can do or say at this specific moment that's going to help you until we get you to sleep. Why? Because when you're sleep deprived, you lack the ability to uptake quality information, or let alone any information. When it comes to fat burning, building muscle, this all happens when you sleep. So if you're not sleeping, you're not recovering effectively, the chances of you trying to take your body to where you want to take it, it's going to probably be highly jeopardized. I'm not going to say nil, because I can't say that, but you're definitely working against your body. So if you're like me that I mentioned earlier, that's a tosser and turner and can't sleep, I've tried herbal sleeping medications. I've tried to do some extreme meditation before I go to bed. I've tried to put some nice calming music. That actually makes me go to sleep. But the fact is, I still wake up 2 hours later and I'm tossing and turning, and I'm still just not getting that 5-6 hours of complete shutdown sleep. So yeah, I had to go to, you know, my GP and get some a proper sleeping aid that's subscribed to me, that allows me to keep me to sleep. Now, does it work? Absolutely, it does. It actually, I fall asleep on my own, that's fine, but I lost the ability to actually stay asleep. But this actually keeps me to sleep. And since I've done that, you know, for the last probably 3 years now, again, mentally, psychologically, I feel well recovered. The body itself doesn't look as stressed and as tired, because it is recovering. It's not carrying as much cortisol because of the lack of sleep and recovery that it's not getting. So sleep for me is something that I believe that there's something that might potentially we can tune up, if it's, you know, if we find out that that's an area that we need to be addressing. Please address it. Don't ignore the elephant in the room. And for me, sleep is high on that list. And this list could have been 30. And that's why I've actually got sleep sliding in there in number 5. Now, I'm going to put number 4. This is a very, very, very important one for me as well. Intensity. Sometimes the intensity in the gym, our lack of effort to train, it's very, very subpar, to say the least. I guess if you just look around the gym and look around the environment, you can see a bit of flat energy at times. You know, people just aren't energized. They're not pushing those extra few reps, extra few sets. And I'm not saying that every session has to be perfect. I didn't have the perfect session today. But what it is law of averages over the course of 365 days a year. You want to make sure that you are putting at least 80% of effort into everything you do. And I say, we don't have to do 100%, you know, effort in everything we do. I tell people, if you can do 80% effort all year round, you know, if you got 80% in every exam you did at school, you'd be pretty happy with that. Very rarely anyone's going to get 100% on every single exam. So if you can just aim to, you know, at least, you know, give, you know, 8 out of 10 every time that you train, and that still could be 100% effort, but sometimes we just don't feel overly strong in them days. So for me, the intensity in the gym is the one thing I feel that, you know, it's lacking a lot. And that could also come down to, you know, the people's rest periods, because they've got their phone on them, they're sidetracked, they're going to look at social media during the sets and they're scrolling. It's become a second nature. We sit on the lounge, we scroll. We sit beside the pool, we scroll. We sit near our partners and we scroll on our phone. We're in the gym and we're scrolling on the phone. And I get some people are looking at training plans. I have my clients look at training plans because that's where my app is. Recomposer. So I get that as well, but I think if we can learn to up the intensity and maybe decide to, and if you want to break that barrier, maybe start doing a bit more supersetting where you can, you know, you might be doing a bench press and instead of sitting there waiting 2.5 minutes before the next set, for example, maybe you can go over and do a back movement, superset an alternative muscle group. So that keeps the intensity going. And gosh, before you know it, you might get the session done in 45 minutes instead of an hour and a half, and you've done more productivity. You've felt the intensity is a little bit higher. And you actually might even get stronger, because all of a sudden your enthusiasm is through the roof, because your session's not dragging on for an hour and a half. So for me, intensity, I just feel like when I'm looking around, there's this there's a bit of flatness. I think people are in the gym way too long. Most people to be in there for an hour and a half and 2 hours, I just don't see that that's a quality time. I look, unless, you know, your goal is to be a professional bodybuilder, I still don't think you need any like 4 or 5 hours. But some of the old school guys, they did that. But I think in 2024, might I say, not 2023, I don't think we have all that time. I think we're very time poor. And I think if you can get in there and create a nice, effective session and get in and get the job done and get out again, that for me, that the quality of your session is way more better than the quantity spent in there. So for me, the intensity I feel needs to increase in the gym. I just find that, you know, people want maximum results, but I think the effort they're putting in. And also to add on to that, if you actually look at, you know, a lot of people's lifestyle, people that are putting on some extra body fat at the moment, if you actually look at their lifestyle, they're very sedentary, they move slow. Very rarely you'll see someone that's in relative decent shape and they move slow. Most people that are sort of pulling the weight on, they're very sedentary, they sit around a lot, they tend to move very slow. Remember, we burn body fat using calories as energy just simply from moving, talking, walking. I pace around, I'm almost annoying because I'm almost sort of always moving, my hands are moving, my head's always moving, my body's moving, I'm kicking a soccer ball. That all burns calories. So start thinking about your output of energy as well. And that comes into the intensity. We're walking around a little bit flat and tired. So, and that actually leads on to number three. It leads on to our personal psychology, which is just the way we're currently feeling, dealing with life, the problems we're going through, how our mindset is. That will also dictate how fast we move, how fast we train, how hard we train, the energy we're going to put into our training session. So our personal psychology for me at number three is massive. And that's huge, is because I always say the mind will dictate where the body goes. And if our mind's held back because of personal problems, stress, we're tired, we're not sleeping, we have the world in our mind, we need to address that. Again, we've got to address the elephant in the room. And this is where I find people, if you can just be genuine to yourself, honest to yourself, put your hand up and go, what areas in my life in 2024 do I need addressing? And be serious about yourself and don't just understand, okay, yeah, I know this, I've got to change that, I need to do that, I'm slow on my habits, I can't do this, I'm overeating, I'm drinking too much. You've identified the problems, now start making changes, just small changes. And sometimes it all starts from getting help, having a conversation, talking to professionals, talking to friends, talking to relationships, anyone that you can actually maybe deload, and not, don't find people that you constantly vent on. That's a different scenario. You don't want to be that person. But we also, I'm a big believer in it, you know, each individual, you know, if you identify one of your friends is consistently talking to you about their problems, their struggles, you don't have to be the therapist. What you need to do is advise that individual. Maybe, you know, we need to get that individual to sit down and talk to a professional to talk about what's going through their mind. Because generally, you know, 90% of what people go through is probably what's going to jeopardize our results. So if we can address, you know, the elephant in the room and address our personal psychology and address the situations and challenges we're facing in life, for me, that's going to open doors, open closed barriers, and it's going to get us one step closer to getting us into the gym, getting some sort of routine, getting some sort of structure, getting some consistency, getting some discipline within turning up. And then most of the time when our personal psychology is suffering, motivation is also going to be at an all-time low. Now, motivation does not come knocking at our door. It just doesn't do that. But what does come, motivation will be overridden by your routine and consistency and being disciplined. So I said I wasn't going to speak about them words, but there they are, because I don't think you could do, you know, any sort of, you know, inspiring podcast without actually bringing those words in, because they are the golden nuggets. They don't sell well. They don't do anything on social media there because they're such boring words. So, but they are their consistency, discipline, you know, dedication, persistence. Persistence is a huge one. I'll say that again, persistence. Patience, the other P word. You know, sometimes we're also not waiting. We wanting everything to happen too fast. So sometimes things are happening behind the scenes within our body, but we're sometimes a little bit impatient as well. So there's another little, you know, a little one I call a slit in between the three and four there, but it sort of ties in everything together. By when you get that personal psychology, you understand you're in the game for the long term. You want to change long term behaviors, not trying to do a short term challenge that becomes an impatient sort of step. So for me, that personal psychology is everything. Address that, look into that, get help for that. Because the longer you ignore that, you even if you get in the gym and the gym's going to be your mental health, that's your sacred ground. That's okay, but you're still sometimes, you know, exercising 2, 3, 4 hours a day. That's not healthy as well. So we want to understand that training 7 days a week is great, but at the same time, are we just training for our mental health, or are we training to gain or get specific results? So these are the things we also need to address as well. So for me, that number three, personal psychology, is massive, because I believe the mind will dictate where your results go. Now, number two, this one for me, I believe is another critical factor, and I think that's why I'm slid it in number two. Didn't quite hit number one, but there were so many ones that could have been number one. But for me, you are not having enough protein. Now, we all know what protein does. I think we all learned that in grade 3 or 4 at 5 at school. We know it builds muscle, repairs muscle. It's good for our joints. It's good for our skin. And it's good for our bones. And it's basically good for almost the whole human anatomy, because the muscle is again, one of the most metabolic things on our body. It basically drives our metabolism. So by building muscle, it turns our muscles, turns our body into a Mazda 2 to an F-250 truck, AKA the more muscle we have, the more calories the body can consume. So down the track when we're training, if we have a couple of binges or, you know, a couple of poor relationships with food, sometimes you can get away with it because you have a bit more muscle mass, so your body can handle extra calories. There's a huge advantage of having obviously an extra bit of muscle mass other than the cosmetic sort of look. But the only way you're going to build that muscle is obviously performance in the gym is naturally once lifting, obviously resistance-based training. Look, obviously people ask me, Liam, can you build muscle by using bands? Well, you know what? If you have never lifted anything before and you decided to get some resistance bands, and you would build some muscle because you're going to lift more than you were lifting before when you weren't doing it. Yes, your body is going to adapt to that band. So therefore you can make the resistance on the band a little bit harder and then so on and so forth. And yes, you are going to progress, and you can, of course you can add muscle from resistance bands. But if you've been training for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years and you're bench pressing 100 kilo for reps, I don't know how much of the resistance band is going to aid to you. Look, if you're locked down and COVID happens to re-hit again, or you're traveling, and you decided to pack some bands in your car, well, you know what? It gives you a high opportunity of potentially maintaining some sort of muscle mass that you had. So look, that they're going to play a pivotal role. But let's be realistic. To add sufficient amount of muscle and change your body composition all over effectively, it's going to require some resistance training, and it's going to require the adequate right amount of protein. Now, what is the right amount of protein? You can Google, you research, science changes all the time. New information comes through all the time. Now, you know, you might see the general recommended dietary guidelines might say just have 1 gram per kilo. So if you weighed, 80 kilo, it's saying, as long as you have 80 grams of protein per day, that's sufficient to meet your nutritional goals. Now, somewhat that's not false, but at the same time, if you're a trained athlete and you're training your muscles, 3, 4, 5 times a week, or you're trying to get some incredible gains, you're probably going to need more than that. How much more than would you need than that? As a basic guideline, somewhere around that 2 grams per kilo is going to be a basic start. So if I'm around 80 kilo, which I am, if I was to times that by 2, that's going to take me to around 160 grams per day. Now, I like to be a little bit higher than that. Why? Because I train most days, usually 6 days a week. So the body's, and I carry a decent amount of muscle mass. So for me, I feel having a little bit higher than that scale just to ensure that I do maintain, enough muscle mass and actually keep building. And who's also to say, we also can't tell to know how much our body actually absorbs of this protein. I remember years ago I did a test. Now, I don't know how effective it is, but anyway, I did it about 20 years ago, and the test was about, it was a blood test and a urine test to indicate how much, basically the quality of my body uptake in protein. How much of the protein did I uptake, and did it actually get utilized? And the test come back saying 40% of the protein that I uptake actually wasn't even utilized. Now, I can't confirm that. I can't say how accurate the test was, but the test was the test. And it always stuck in my mind to think, well, if that's true, Maybe I should be just a slightly higher than that. So I would set a recommendation, especially for some sort of trained athlete. I'd be looking a little bit higher than that, around that 2.2 to 2.4 grams per kilo. And those extreme athletes after that, you could probably push it to 2.5 to 2.6. And I think you're getting on the higher threshold here. But saying that, I don't think it's getting in anything over the top. Saying that, you know, if you have been diagnosed with, you know, some upset kidneys or there's something there that you're concerned about, I would, again, as a clause, I would actually go see your local GP to get bloods to confirm that if there was some, you know, concerns with that amount of protein. It's not a huge amount of protein, but there I have come across people that, you know, let's say a female, I've given them, you know, 150 grams of protein per day, and they've actually, there's a lot of bloating there. There's a lot of, it seems like the protein wasn't uptaken effectively. So, and in further bloods, it actually come back to say that there was a condition with the kidneys where we had to pull back protein for about 3 months until they actually addressed the concerns. And it turned to be it was an indirect thing where, you know, there wasn't enough water going through the body. They were dehydrated. There were other side effects, which was actually affecting the results anyway. So once we identified that, we're able to, you know, bring that protein back in there again. But I think as a basic rule, around, you know, 2 grams to 2.2 grams per kilo is a basic start. So if I'm to do a basic mathematics on that, if you are a 60 kilo female, if you were to times that by two, that's saying 120 grams of protein, which is still relatively low for me. But if I was to say 2.2 grams times 60 kilos, that takes it about 130. But for me, that 2.4, if I times that by 60, gives me around that 145, close to that 150. That would be a nice mark there. So for me, around that 2.4, you know, around that number is a decent number for the average trained athlete. Now, if someone's not training, do they need that amount of much? Well, you know, horses for courses. I still think protein, again, it does stop us being hungry. It does help us, you know, be more satiety during the day. It helps build muscle mass. It helps us with recovery. So for me, there's actually no real negative effects on protein powder, so, or protein as a whole food source. Which is better? Well, again, you can debate it and you can argue that as much as you like, and I'm not here to do that because I'm actually not an argumentative person. The quality of some of the proteins out there these days are insane, sometimes better than some of the foods we're actually eating. So, but like everything in moderation, I think will do people super effective. Now, the number one here, this is the number one, this kind of ties in a little bit with intensity, ties up with a few little things here. But this one here, I find that let's say I'm talking to that person that's probably not really, their body's not really changing, that they feel like they've plateaued, that they're maybe in the same position as they were 12 months ago. They're just not quite going to that next level. And it's going to sound a bit strange, but I'm talking more to sort of some natural athletes here, so to speak, in the general population. Sometimes overtraining, would you believe? Undertraining also is obviously a huge concern for most people. Training is better than not training. But what I mean here is that there's a lot of people that train, that go to the gym 7 days a week. Now, awesome, love it, brilliant. They go on, that's their routine. It works for them. They could be in shape. But sometimes people like that will come to me and they'll go, Leon, I'm struggling to get strong. I'm just not adding sufficient amount of muscle mass. Why is that? I'm training every day. And the thing is, they're exercising every day. They're turning up every day. And that's absolutely wonderful, great, and that's great. But you always got to ask yourself, train for specificity. Train specifically to the goal. What does that even mean? Well, in this case, what it actually means for these individuals, if are they training for their mental health or are they training to add muscle mass and change their body composition? For me, most of them are probably training for both, but little do they know, it's their mental well-being that's probably taken precedence here. So if you want to be serious about adding muscle, getting strong, having a sufficient recovery, you need to then start going back and training specifically to the goal. It's going to require you having, you know, 1 or 2 rest days per week on average. It's going to require you you know, paying attention to detail regarding your nutrition. Are you eating enough? Most people that will train 7 days a week that are super, super obsessed with the gym, that just go there every single day, they will probably undereat. And they may not eat enough calories to actually push, you know, muscle mass and drive muscle mass and muscle mass and actually increase performance. And sometimes to, you know, if you're overtraining, you're just in that momentum of just going to the gym. It's a habit, it's a routine. You've got, which is amazing. Don't get me wrong. That's incredible. But remember, I said, if you're training for specificity, if someone's sitting down and saying, "Leon, I'm just not adding the muscle I was. I want bigger legs, shoulders, glutes, etc., etc." And they're training 7 days a week. You're not going to get sufficiently strong over the course of the years if you're training 7 days a week. You can get great gains and you get yourself into shape. But again, training for specificity, if you're trying to get bigger legs or a bigger muscle group and you want to get stronger, you just may need to, you know, train specifically in the way of going, okay, I'm exercising every day, that's amazing, but maybe I need to be a little bit more hyper-focused on training. And the equivalent to that would be someone like a Usain Bolt when it comes to sprinting. He'd be training well, the amount of time that he does train per week, it would all be highly structured. The time frames that he would, during each session would also be structured. The frequency would be structured. And he would be aiming to try to get 0.01% faster than he was maybe last month or the month before. And he would be working his butt off and dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making sure the nutrition's okay, making sure sleep's right, making sure recovery's right. He's training specific to his goal to try to get better by 0.5 of a second or something like that. Now, as an athlete, sometimes we need to look at the same. Are we just going to the gym? Are we just lifting? We're in the gym, we're training. Are we not specific to a training plan that's progressive, that's going to make us go another level, push us an extra couple of reps, increase the volume over the course of the week, stroke months? Do we need to increase the frequency? So by having a structured, detailed plan, whether you got it in your head or whether you got it on your phone or whether you have it in a diary or whether you have it on an app, either way, results will come from overload. Progressive overload is where the results are going to come from. So if you're training, so-called exercising every day in the gym and you're not progressing, you may not be progressing in your lifts. You may not be getting stronger because one, you're not adding more weight to the bar over time. So it's very, very important that we look at the factors of overtraining. Now, when we're overtraining, the fact is that the body will lack the ability to probably consistently keep getting strong. You will when you're a novice and you're just starting and you're training, you've got newbie gains. But when you're at the point of, you know, 2, 3, 4+ years in a training, what you'll find that you're sometimes, the more mature you get, you're going to have to start paying attention to more detail. You might need to take that rest or day two. You might need to may pay close attention to your protein intake. You might need to have to increase your calories. You might need to look at, AKA, your rest and sleep there. All these things kind of tying together. You'll also need to look at, again, back to your psychology, all that you realize these top five, they all intertwine together because you may be, again, you may just be going to the gym for your mental well-being because of your personal psychology. And again, that is amazing. Most of us are doing that. I do that. However, if someone's trying to take the goals to the next level, sometimes we've got to start paying attention to details and actually start to look at going, are we just exercising or actually training? Most of the time, most people in the gym are just exercising, and that's, again, that's amazing. But again, everything comes down to train for specificity, train specific to the goal. If you're questioning the amount of muscle you're getting, if you're actually not getting the results that you're after, you need to start looking at your training. You need to look at the intensity. You need to look at the sleep. You need to look at your personal psychology. You need to look at, are you getting enough protein? Sufficient total calories is super, super important as well. And are you going to the gym just exercising, not actually training specific to a goal? So for me, that would be the five factors that just may be a barrier when it comes to trying to, you know, change your body composition or add sufficient amount of muscle mass. So again, the list could have been 20, but they're kind of the basic ones where I feel that you can address them overnight and you can start looking at your own exercise regime and going, okay, well, I'm running 3 times a week and I'm training, you know, in the gym 3 times a week. I'm just not getting strong enough. Well, maybe you need to pull the running back. Keep 3 days, but maybe, you know, drop the duration of the run back a little bit so you've got more strength for your legs in the gym if it comes to leg day thereabouts. So it's just looking at each of these five, you know, subjects and understand what can I change, what do I need to change, what will I want to change, and what's achievable for me to actually make these changes to make it actually happen. So just to reflect and clarify these five factors why you may not be changing your body composition: sleep, rest, the intensity in the gym may be obviously of a lower quality, your personal psychology, enough protein, you're just not be having enough protein stroke total calories, and you just maybe exercising, not actually being specific to training to what the goal actually is, which is to change body composition, add muscle mass. So guys, I hope this has been very informative and you can get some great sort of information out there. And I'm going to leave you on that note. So you all, I hope everyone's having a wonderful start to 2024. Stay blessed, stay fit, stay healthy, stay connected. And guys, have an absolute wonderful day.